This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com.
Welcome to the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody. My name is Ryan Levesque, and on today's show, we are going to be reflecting upon communication skills for small business owners, including taking a look at how Toastmasters can help small business owners close that crucial communications gap. And to help us explore this topic today, we have distinguished Toastmaster Lynn Beverly Strang with us. A little bit about Lynn. She is a freelance writer who helps business owners meet their marketing and communications goals. She's the author of Late Blooming Entrepreneurs, 8 Principles for Starting a Business After Age 40. Lynn's award-winning blog, also called Late Blooming Entrepreneurs, covers topics of interest to aspiring and new entrepreneurs who are age 40 and older. Prior to becoming a solopreneur, Lynn was a public relations executive for more than 25 years. She's a member of 2 Toastmasters clubs, Galloping Governors Advanced Toastmasters and Sparkling Speakers. Lynn is also a member of the Nonfiction Authors Association. She has a BA in speech communications from the University of Virginia. And outside of work, she's a cyclist who has pedaled her road bike all over the world. Lynn has also contributed to the March 2021 issue of The Toastmaster. Her article is Micro Business, Macro Results, How to Cultivate Communication Skills That Grow Your Small Business. Lynn Strang, welcome to The Toastmasters podcast.
Hi, Ryan. Thank you for having me.
I am excited to chat with you. As a micro business owner myself, this topic is of great interest to me. Before we dive into some of your tips and ideas and strategies, this word microbusiness might be a new term for some of our listeners. So what do we mean when we say microbusiness?
Well, I don't know that there's any one cut and dry definition of microbusiness, but typically a microbusiness is one that has fewer than 10 employees and less than $250,000 in annual sales. Often the business has just one owner and no employees. So those of us who think of ourselves as life coaches, graphic designers, photographers, freelance writers, typically those are the types of micro entities that comprise the micro business world. But it's a pretty broad stretch. It ranges from all types of businesses. But again, they're typically smaller entities with very few or maybe even just one employee.
In your article, you shared a statistic that I hadn't seen before. It was from a demographic survey that Toastmasters International conducted in November of 2019, finding that approximately 53,000 Toastmasters members are business owners. Your article uses the term toastpreneurs for them. And Lynn, I don't know what you think, but in my experience, sort of just anecdotally, or my impression, I would be willing to bet that alongside that number of toastpreneurs within Toastmasters, there's probably a large number of Toastmasters members who are aspiring entrepreneurs who haven't actually made the leap yet, but are in Toastmasters partly because they're so interested in personal development, expanding their skills, and want to make a bigger impact and go out on their own. Has that been your experience as well?
Absolutely. And I think we can expand that net even further to say that within corporations, you have people who have an entrepreneurial function within a corporation. And I have met in my Toastmasters journeys many people who aspire to write a book. And I can tell you from personal experience that writing a book is very much an entrepreneurial activity. It has a lot of similar characteristics to starting a business. A lot of what we talk about as it relates to using Toastmasters to develop skills needed to start a small business also applies to those who aspire to become book authors and write a book. If you plan to sell the book in the commercial marketplace, most definitely as a business activity.
Yeah. And of course, you're bringing to mind for me too that there are lots of aspiring professional speakers within Toastmasters, as well as bona fide professional speakers. And really embarking on that career is, of course, another form of micro business, is it not?
I think so. So when you start to put together all these audiences that we're talking about, there really is a very sizable percentage of the Toastmasters community that I think can benefit from this particular discussion that we're having. Mm. Because there are a lot of different ways that you can leverage Toastmasters to cultivate these skills that you need in all these different endeavors that we've been talking about. And if anything, the challenge becomes, how do you pick and choose those activities in a way that allows you to really get the most out of your experience? Because there's so much to choose from.
Yeah, and I know you've got some great tips for that, and I want to dive into those shortly. Why don't we just touch upon what you've identified as the key communication skills to master for business, whether you are an entrepreneur or aspire to be one someday. And the first skill that you point to, which we often don't think of immediately when we think of communication skills, because it sounds passive, although I know it's not, is the skill of listening. So can you talk for a second about how listening relates to business?
I was a bit surprised by that as well, but this was a theme that came up in all the conversations I had to write this, the importance of good listening skills. Active listening is so important for so many reasons. It makes others feel valued. It reduces mistakes. It produces better feedback for employees. And for a business owner, it allows you to provide a higher level customer service and to resolve problems that might come up. And inevitably, there will be problems that come up when you own a business or want to publish a book or start a leadership practice or whatever might be on your list of goals, there will be challenges that come up. And having active listening skills is so important to be able to resolve the challenges that come up and produce good solutions to those challenges. But there's more to the story than just having active listening skills to run your business better. The challenge that business owners sometimes face in the listening department is that the audiences that they're trying to reach may be distracted listeners. So, for example, if you are seeking to create awareness about your offer or your business, and you are speaking to an audience that is distracted by their cell phones or social media accounts, it can be difficult sometimes to convey your message in a way that cuts through that noise and reaches them. So that is a challenge that I think all of us face as business owners and even in our non-business entities, is interacting with audiences that may not have our full attention and delivering our presentations in a way that gets that attention and holds it to the end so that they hear what it is that you have to offer.
I think your second skill here is an entree into at least one way to address that challenge, and that is storytelling. And storytelling, I think, is fundamental to us as humans. We're almost wired to tune in when a story begins. But maybe you can say more about that and how business owners can use storytelling.
Well, that really is a good example of why storytelling is so important. Storytelling really is a critical skill for business owners because that is a technique that allows you to hold people's attention and maintain it throughout your entire presentation so that they hear what it is that you have to offer and get excited about it and want to know more about it. If you present just facts and figures, what's often missing is the emotion. But with storytelling, you're able to add interest, add a human element to it, and convey your story in a way that's both compelling and memorable and gets people wanting to hear the whole thing from start to finish. And you are less likely facing the situation of, I was talking about earlier, which is short attention spans. You're able to cut through that challenge by using storytelling to keep people engaged and hear your message that it is that you want to deliver.
Yeah, I think when storytelling is done well, the person in the audience becomes invested in the story. And no longer is it, I'm giving you my attention because you're asking for it, and maybe somewhat, you know, grudgingly. But no, I'm invested in this story and I need to know now.
I think the key to using storytelling effectively in a business presentation is that you want to pick and choose anecdotes that make your most important points. So you can have a great story and it's funny and it entertains people, but if it doesn't make a central point that you want to convey to your audience, it's best to leave it out.
Right.
So you need to choose stories that do make your case, do hold people's attention, do keep them from being distracted by their social devices and whatever else you might be competing against, but also choose stories that emphasize the main points that you want emphasized in your presentation.
Lynn, what can you tell us about our next communication skill, organization?
Organization really is the backbone of a well-defined, structured presentation. If you're a small business owner, or any type of business owner for that matter, you need to be able to structure your thoughts in a way that people can follow them and understand what it is that you're trying to convey. What I've seen on many occasions, since I do write about small business, I've had the opportunity on a few occasions to watch small business owners practice their pitches. I've even sat in on a contest or two. And what I've observed as a common challenge is people may be very excited and animated about what it is that they're offering, but they tend to get off tangent, or they wander, or they get so wrapped up in small details that by the time their allotted time is up, they haven't gotten to whatever the offer is that they want to talk about.
Yeah.
They use their allotted 2 minutes or 3 minutes or 5 minutes in a way that by the time that they're finished, you don't know what it is that they're offering. So that is where organization and structure really come into play. When you use a clear, easy to follow structure, you're able to organize your points in a way that you cover everything that you need to cover in your allotted time, and people understand what it is that you're offering by the time that you're done.
And of course, in this discussion right now, this sidebar that we're having about communication skills, there is a clear structure. We've already covered listening. We've covered storytelling. You just covered organization for us. And the fourth and final skill that you're shining a light on in this article is persuasion. So how can we learn how to use persuasion to further our message and enhance our impact as business owners?
Persuasion really is a critical skill for business owners, and here's why. You can have a terrific business idea that has a lot of potential, a lot of appeal, and is something that meets a real need in the marketplace. But if you can't articulate that idea in a way that persuades others that there is a need for this product and there is a reason for them to get excited, it's not going to go anywhere. You're much more likely to get the results that you want if you're able to appeal to your audience's interest. And I think that it starts by having a good understanding of who your audience is, what's important to them, doing your homework to figure out what they already have, what they don't have, and really getting a handle of what your audience is looking for. And then using that knowledge of your audience's needs, wants, interests to put together a talk or presentation, whatever the situation calls for, in a way that appeals to those interests. And if you do that, you're far more likely to get the results that you want and to persuade people to take the action that you seek to obtain by giving your presentation.
Now, the skills that we just reviewed, listening, storytelling, organization, persuasion, those are skills that any Toastmaster anywhere can learn in any Toastmasters club. However, in your article, you talk about some specific clubs that have been created with a mission of serving entrepreneurs or micro business owners, small business owners. Can you talk about some of the ways that you've seen that clubs have specifically served members with those inclinations and interests?
You have an opportunity to interact with people who understand the challenges that you are facing as a small business owner, and to have conversations with those members and share experiences, allowing each of you to learn from one another. Another advantage to participating in one of these clubs is the opportunity to practice a presentation that you might have coming up. If you have an important pitch that you're planning to make related to your business, it's a chance to practice that pitch in front of a group of people who, again, not only understand the challenges that you are going through and can empathize with what you're feeling in standing in front of that group, but can provide feedback based upon their own experiences that they have encountered as entrepreneurs. So I would certainly encourage aspiring and new entrepreneurs to explore that benefit. Especially in this environment where we find ourselves meeting virtually, the opportunities are even wider right now because you don't have to limit yourself to just a club that might be within your immediate geographic area. You can visit and interact with these specialty clubs that are located all over the world. It's a win-win-win, so to speak.
I'll add to that too. I think it also gives you an opportunity to expand your own personal network.
Absolutely. And that too is another valuable benefit of Toastmasters, the opportunity to expand your network, make new connections, meet others who may have knowledge or expertise that you need to advance your own business, or might even be a potential customer, or again, can provide encouragement and support for you as you go through the process of starting a business. And as any business owner will tell you, you need a lot of encouragement and support because it is not an easy path to follow. No one can do it by himself or herself alone. You do need that network and support mechanism in place to help you get to where you want to go.
As we sail to a close here, I want to bring up the phenomenon here in the United States known as Shark Tank, a television show where business owners will come in and pitch investors on why they should invest in their business or their product. And this show is known by different names around the world. In the UK and Canada, it's called Dragon's Den. And fun fact, Lynn, I don't know if you know, it actually started all the way back in 2001 in Japan as Money Tigers. But since you and I are in the US, we'll call it Shark Tank here. You mentioned to me that you've seen clubs who have done a Shark Tank-esque practice as a way to help their members practice with pitching. Can you share a little bit about what that looks like and how someone might introduce that to their club, either as a permanent fixture or even just a one-off fun thing to do sometime?
Yeah, I had the opportunity to speak with a club in Atlanta, Georgia that has had speed pitching sessions during their meetings where members are given the opportunity to pair up and practice their business pitches. And then after a few minutes, one person rotates to rehearse with somebody else until by the time the session's over, everybody's had a chance to have practice time with several different people. And I think even if you aren't aspiring to become an entrepreneur right now, maybe you might someday, and this could be a great exercise for any club to try. It's an exercise that helps you to develop the persuasion skills we were talking about earlier that are useful no matter what you might want to aspire to do, whether it's in business or elsewhere. So it could be a really fun way to develop persuasion skills, develop empathy and an understanding of what a business owner goes through when he or she is seeking to get funding or other type of support for your business. Plus, it's a nice touch of variety. If you haven't done something like this before, it's a nice way to add interest and something different for members who haven't gone through something like this in the past. So I would definitely suggest giving it a try.
Yeah. And I think, Lynn, your four communication skills that we highlighted earlier, for anyone who's watched Shark Tank or one of the other franchise varieties of the show in different locations, listening, storytelling, organization, persuasion, those are all so critical to a successful pitch in the Shark Tank. And even you might think at first, again, listening, how does that fit in? But how many times have we seen someone thrown out of the Shark Tank because they just weren't listening to what the sharks were saying, or they're so intent on hammering their message?
Not only does listening fit in there, I think listening belongs at the top of the list. It really does, because you need active listening skills to be able to listen to feedback, listen to suggestions for improvement, listen to what your customers are telling, and then take all that information and apply it in a way that makes your business better than it was before. You can't do that if you're a distracted listener or an inactive listener. It really is critical if you want your business to grow and prosper.
Lynn, you've shared lots of great ideas with us, given us plenty of food for thought. For those who are listening in who really want to take the next steps at growing their business, getting on the track of starting a business, can you distill it down to us for some simple next steps of what our listeners can do?
Sure. Well, let me suggest four next steps. The first thing is to do an assessment of your communications strengths and weaknesses. Do you struggle with organizing your content? Are you wishing to become stronger storytelling? Is getting your presentations completed on time a struggle for you? It's important to know what those challenges are so that you can begin to take action. And the next step is to get to work on it right away. And I think the best next step is to sign up for a role at your club's next meeting that will help you address that challenge for you. If you've decided that you need to get better at providing useful feedback to others, sign up to be an evaluator. If listening is a struggle for you, sign up to be the grammarian or the awe counter. Both of those roles require you to pay close attention and will help you hone those attentive listening skills. The third suggestion: start practicing your business pitches in your club's setting. If you have an important talk coming up, if you're expecting to be in a position where you're seeking funding or other type of support and you need to rehearse that important presentation, take advantage of your club's meetings as an opportunity to practice that pitch. And the fourth suggestion is visit a club that caters to small business owners. There are many to choose from within the Toastmasters organization. In this virtual environment that we find ourselves now, you have many opportunities to visit clubs all over the world virtually that specialize in entrepreneurship and small business ownership. It's a wonderful opportunity, great way to learn not only about how other clubs use their settings to help small business owners grow, but perhaps learn about business practices or different ways of doing things from other parts of the world. If you follow those four steps, you'll be well on your way to making improvements that you seek to make in your communications skills. If there's one central message that I hope people take away from our conversation, it would be this: be intentional about your choices. And by that I mean, think about what it is that you want to improve, where you have weaknesses, where you have challenges, and then seek out opportunities that allows you to address those weaknesses and challenges.
Well, there you have it, folks. Lynn Strang's four next steps that you can take. Which are you going to put into practice today, this week, this month. I encourage you to think about that and make a decision and put your decision into action. Lynn, for our listeners who are going to want to follow up with you, follow you, perhaps check out your Late Blooming Entrepreneurs book or blog, what is the best way for folks to get in touch and keep in touch?
There are a couple ways that you can reach me. One is through my blog, which is called Late Blooming Entrepreneurs. I also have a freelance writing website called LynnBeverlyStrang.com. If you go to either one of those sites, you will find where you can reach me on social media, or you can send me an email, and I would be happy to respond to any questions that might come from this discussion. Look forward to hearing from any listeners out there.
Lynn Strang, thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate your sage advice.
Thank you for having me.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.